Welcome to the Nativist Podcast, where we tap into our instinct and natural power to live intuitively. The ultimate goal is to leave the world healthier and more beautiful than we found it. It all starts on the individual level by cultivating our mind-body connection. Whether you're on a healing journey or just want to look and feel your best, I hope by the end you feel a little happier, a little more inspired, and a little more invested in yourself and the world. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. Thank you. Welcome to the Nativist Podcast. I am getting back into podcasting and it feels really good. I've missed it. I needed to take a breather. I needed to just collect my thoughts. I have been in nesting mode with my new home and I'm back in the game and it feels good. And so my episode that I just released was about my explant surgery. So if you haven't listened to that, thank you to the people who have. I have received such great feedback. I so appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your lives to listen to me. And I know I say that a lot. I feel like I say that a lot, but it comes from the heart for sure, because there are so many other podcasts you could listen to or things you could do with your time. And so for you to take time out of your day, again, to listen to me and to connect with me and to share that with me, because we're all connected, it means a lot. So thank you. And the topic for today is aging. And I'm coming at you as a 37-year-old. I recently turned 37. And it doesn't feel like I'm 37. I do not feel my age. And it's a trip, especially the older you get, you start approaching these ages that seem so far off and all of a sudden they're right there. I remember when I turned 30, it rattled me because I thought, wow, the next milestone birthday is 40 and that's a little too close for comfort. I am not comfortable with 40 being so close to me. And I just thought about how the last 10 years had gone, and so then it stands to reason, especially the older you get, it seems like the faster time goes. And so it stands to reason that the next 10 years would go even faster, even more quickly. And so that was a little jarring. And now I've made peace with it. And really, my 30s have been far better than my 20s. And you hear that a lot. That's a very common experience. And it just feels like I am more comfortable with myself. I'm more secure with myself. I'm getting to know myself better. And I've always been a reflector and introspective, but still that keeps me discovering layer upon layer upon layer. The more I think I know of myself, the more I continue to learn. And so I think that's important too, to just in general, in life in general, keep an open mind and know you don't have all of the answers. You don't know everything. Science doesn't know everything. We have a preliminary understanding of our brains. We have a preliminary understanding of so much. And so I think that's exciting too, an exciting mindset to have, to know there's so many more discoveries to have collectively and individually, personally, professionally, about yourself, about your psyche, about your experience, and then also about everything else. And then think about all you're discovering about yourself. There's more to discover about your friends and your loved ones and your colleagues and people you orbit with. And gosh, so many cool things to learn. I love it. That's why I am obsessed with reading. But coming back to it, so I'm 37. So that's 3 years away from 40, y'all. Even less now. And I don't feel that old. And I don't ever, not that there's anything wrong if you do feel your age or even if you feel older. Because I think I'm a bit of an old soul. And you may relate. You may feel like you are one too. And so there's nothing wrong with feeling your age, and we'll get into that. But I don't ever want to resign myself to being old and increasingly less capable. And so I think about that. I'm very mindful of that. And I know my best friend Rachel and I have talked about that too, where we were like that before, but then we talked about it and related to each other. We're just very mindful about the language we use. You won't hear me saying, oh, I'm so old. Or especially if I'm talking about my bedtime, or I'm talking about my lifestyle, or I'm talking about my mobility or my body or my health or how I'm feeling, because I truly believe, and science backs it up now more and more and more, see, the more we learn, that our thoughts have such power. And so the words you use, the thoughts you think, affect, directly affect, profoundly affect, significantly affect, measurably affect your life and reality. Not only how you see it and how you interpret it, but also exactly like what you experience. Like, it is affecting those subatomic particles, if you want to get all nerdy about it. And that's so cool. And I love that more and more science is catching up with that, and how energy is everything and blah, 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 blah. This is not that podcast. Do not go off on a tangent. Okay, I'm back with you. But really, and so how you reference yourself and how you reference your reality and life and your experience will directly impact and color your experience. And so if you're constantly referring to yourself as old, or, oh, I'm getting so old, I go to bed so early, or, oh, I'm getting so old, blah, blah, blah. And again, I know that this kind of sounds contradictory, because later I'm going to talk about stigmatization of aging. So let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with getting older, but I'm speaking to that portion of it typically that people are referencing and addressing when they're talking about, like, the older you get, the more stale you become, literally and figuratively, the more like calcified and rigid and dull and less exciting or less active or competent or capable or fun or any of that. No. There's somebody I have followed for a long time, Shalene Johnson, and she is a revolution. She's 54, pretty sure. Yeah, 54. And she does not let her age hold her back. She's just so full of life and she's vibrant. But also, she doesn't shy away from her age. She doesn't try to hide it. She doesn't feel consumed by shame with it. She's 54 and she's loud and proud about it. And I think that's so beautiful. And I think that's such a healthy mindset to have too, to embrace your age and to be grateful for your age even. If you're your age, that means you've made it thus far. And I remember seeing one time how somebody had framed it as like gamification, or if that were your score, like your video game score. So like 37 is my video game score. It's not as high as a 62-year-old, so I'm working towards it, but that's such a gift that you have made it to that age, because the alternative is death. You'd be dead. And think of all the people who don't have the experience of making it to your age or older. And so it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And I'm saying this also, I know I say this from a place of privilege, just for my own life and all the privileges that have come with that. But then also, I have a pretty good thing going right now. I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. I have abundance in my life. I have the money I need to go to provide for myself, to go grocery shopping, to buy a new home. I'm not in chronic pain. I am not under a lot of stress that many of you may be experiencing, relationship stress or professional stress or any of that. So if you're experiencing that, it can be very off-putting to be told to be grateful for that. But I hope, I mean, there's a balance with all things, so I hope you make some space for just a little bit of gratitude. You don't have to. It's your life. You decide if you want to, but there's some power that comes from that, and just from recognizing and just the recognition of that. So if you're not able to internalize that just yet, just right now, I hope you hold space to maybe in the future recognize all that you have going for you and all that you have. And a certain age doesn't have to mean the same thing for a certain person too. So like my experience as a 37-year-old, again, I have good health. I have good relationships. I like my job. I make good money. I have all of my needs met. I have a lot of my wants met. And so that's great. And other people may have at this age health issues and other things that have been going on. And life is just so different. That's one of the most fascinating things to me, that life means something different to each and every one of us. So life could be a total slog for somebody in an underdeveloped country or somebody going through some stuff, you know, and life, our experiences are just so different. And that's so cool and endlessly interesting to me. But it just, it's so hard to universalize or generalize just experiences or what your 30s will be like. Overall, it seems to trend that most people enjoy their 30s, and I've heard 40s are even better because you are less rigid and care less and get caught up less in the minutiae and the silly things, and you're able to relax more and come into your own and be more yourself, because that absolutely has happened for me from my 20s as to now. I just have relaxed and given myself more grace and given other people grace and figured myself out a little bit more and figured life out a little bit more. And it just feels like things become a little easier. And this is a sweet spot, because I know, we'll get into that, that there's a drop-off point too. It doesn't have to happen. It's not necessarily inevitable, but you know, things don't work necessarily the way they used to. Doesn't mean that it has to be miserable, but things just work a little differently the older you get, just physiologically. And technology is coming really, really far to assist us with that, to where aging, like a 37-year-old isn't the same as a 37-year-old 50 years ago. And we know that technology has a compound effect, so it just keeps building upon itself, and there's no necessary timeline to it. So we don't know exactly where we'll be or where technology will be. But as of now, bio-optimization and all the things are able to do to supplement health and to help us know more about our bodies and be more precise with diagnoses and predicting and detecting diseases and disorders and things like that, and genetic testing. It's very exciting, but that's a whole other conversation as to how far we should go with the bio-optimization. You know, if we want to become literal robots, you know, where they start implanting devices, and that's where we are, where they predict pretty soon we'll be able to communicate telepathically, we'll be able to like Google telepathically. And again, that's a whole other conversation as far as like your comfort level and acceptance of technology. But coming back to the age issue, gosh, God bless you for sticking with me, because I am all over the place. But there are so many tangents that are related to this, right? And so what prompted me to do an aging podcast is turning 37. And I think I'd wanted to do one before that, but just the cosmetic aspect of it though too, which is something I really want to dive into, because the older I get, the more I'm aware of the targeted ads for anti-aging and wrinkle creams and eye creams and do this to look younger, do this to look younger, do this to look younger, da 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 da, and it's shoved in your face and down your throat constantly, constantly, constantly. And especially with female actors, I've tried to train myself to not say actors, because I know just actor. Okay, that's a whole, do not go down that tangent. Okay, so female actors, we are so less forgiving with them, with what they look like. And I just know overall, and I know that there can be an evolutionary component to that too, because females, you know, we're kinder, we're more forgiving with males. Like the older a man gets, they become more distinguished, or they become a silver fox, and they can become even more attractive. And there's so much more grace and allowance for that. But female public figures are so much less, and they're constantly being hounded about what they look like, or have they had any work done, and how dare you have any work done. And please reference the monologue, America Ferrera's character's monologue in the Barbie movie, because that was beautiful and so beautifully captured, just the paradox and the impossibility that it is to be a female in this society and world. And not to make this a feminist rant, but I hope that you open your mind, if you don't consider yourself a feminist, just to accept the points that are in there. This isn't to try to make you a feminist, absolutely not. You get to choose for yourself, but I think there are a lot of misconceptions about what is a feminist. A lot of misconceptions. Again, that's a whole other conversation. But back to being the impossibility of being a woman, it's just recognizing all that's asked of us and demanded of us. and the impossible standards we're held to, because we're told, don't be so vain and so full of yourself, and don't let anybody know you've had any work done, and how dare you have any work done, and how dare you send, like, especially let's use public theaters as an example, but this applies to all of us. How dare you have any work done? How dare you not accept yourself? How dare you buy into this? How dare you be so fake? Why can't you be a natural beauty? Be a natural beauty. Da, 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 da. Don't feel like you need to fix yourself. Why do you feel like you need to fix yourself? What's wrong with you? You need to be natural. Don't buy into that. And then, whoa, why are you not taking care of yourself? This is self-care. You need to put together. You constantly need to look a certain way. And what's wrong with you? Are you tired? Are you sick? Why do you look that way? And this is what you need to do to get rid of those wrinkles, to eliminate any sign that you've actually lived a life, that you've made any sort of any facial expressions ever in your life. And you need to erase that because you need to look a certain way. You need to be younger. Because again, going back to like the difference between male and female, with males aging usually comes solidity. It comes like they've established themselves. It comes from stability, like they can provide for themselves and provide for their young and provide for their partners. Whereas opposed to like women, what's typically conventionally considered attractive is youth and beauty and vitality. And so usually the younger you are, typically you're regarded as more pretty, you're typically regarded as more vibrant, you're typically regarded as more fertile, which is very important, and all of that. And so you can see the discrepancy between the two, and then you can see how we're not even allowed to exist and to naturally advance in age as women, because we're just not supposed to look like we have advanced in age. And it's constantly look younger than your age. And we see how all this messaging can be internalized and affect us and affect how we see the world, affect our ideals of beauty. Think about what you consider beautiful. Think about whom you consider beautiful. And I'm not saying that you subscribe to the conventional idea of beauty. I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so it can differ. But if you do happen to think younger is more beautiful, or certain, you know, conventionally beautiful people in their mind, if that's, you know, what you think is beautiful, think about where that came from. Just reflect on that for a minute, and you don't have to unpack it fully, but just think about it. Where do you think that came from? Because you were brought into this world, I guess some people could disagree with that, but you were brought into this world, you appeared in this world kind of like a, for all intents and purposes, a blank slate. Pre-conditioning, pre-understanding how the world works and all of that, pre-language, pre-all of that. And again, I know that that's another contradictory thing, but you learned your customs of your culture, and you learned the norms, and you learned what's right and wrong, and I'm putting that in air quotes, what's right and wrong, and you learned what's culturally considered beautiful, and it's culturally dependent. It doesn't have to be, and you can override that, or you can, I mean, there can be aberrations, or there can be differences, I should say, an anomaly. But take about like some Asian cultures, the more fair you are, the more beautiful you're considered, because in that culture, it's the fair people who weren't the laborers and the workers and had the privilege of being shaded from the sun and weren't out toiling in the sun, and they had the nice, soft, fair skin, and you have lightening agents they use. And then you have us in America over here baking ourselves to death in the sun or in tanning beds, giving ourselves skin cancer, literally baking ourselves to death to try to achieve that beautiful tan glow that is beautiful in our culture. And so you can just see, you might have had a very different idea. You likely would have had a very different idea of beauty if you were raised in another culture or exposed to another culture. And so you just see how age itself, how it looks, how it feels, how it's perceived, how it's defined, is currently also expressing a renaissance, because I think more awareness is coming to how we see age and how we regard it and what we ask of ourselves and what we ask of others and what we do to ourselves. And I don't know if you've seen the comparison floating around. I've seen it on social media. And it uses the Golden Girls. So the Golden Girls, a TV show, if you're familiar with it, that featured women who were previously considered older, hence the Golden Girl name. So they used the actresses and they showed them on the show, and then they put an image next to them of someone of that same age as the actor, and they look so different. The person from today looks so much younger than the Golden Girl actor, and some of that is because of hairstyle, how they were dressed, but also just the idea and the age. And there are quite a few factors that go into that, because, you know, the more technology that we have, the older we can get, the better our quality of life is, the longer our lifespans can be. But also, it's a different mentality too, because a few years ago, if you were a certain age, that was kind of like your twilight years. You were done. That was it. Like, it was just kind of just take it easy, and that was it. And nothing new and nothing vibrant going on in your life, and, you know, just kind of slow and chill out kind of phase of your life. And now it's different. Now women that same age are regarded as more youthful. And reaching a certain age doesn't have to look a certain way or involve certain things. Like, it doesn't have to mean that you're feeble or you're dull. And that's really a point I want to drive home now, is it's a mentality, it's your mindset that drives a lot of that. But be how you take care of yourself and how you set yourself up for success later. And that's been a theme in my life lately, is just my attention to the horizon and to the future. Not for how I'm going to look, but how I'm going to feel. So I'm much more mindful and intentional about my movements in the gym, and a lot more attention is being paid to mobility and how I'm gonna feel. And so I stretch more and I'm kinder to my body. You can still push it and still get a great workout, but be smarter about it. And I just think about how that's gonna set me up for functional success later on, to where I'm even just gonna be able to function as an adult, an independent adult. And I read Outlive by Peter Attia, and that was so good. I recommend it. And I love how he's really broken it down and he's quantified it. So the full title is Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity by Peter Attia, and he's a doctor. And so with his current patients, he will take them and he'll ask them, and he customizes it to each patient. And that's the theme of his book, where, you know, just customization, and now we can be more precise with our medical care, which is wonderful, and more predictive. And he is big on that too, is let's try to figure out, like, let's not just address things as they're happening. Let's try to prevent them from happening, and let's try to detect them from happening far before they become a huge issue. So he also, with his customization treatment, so he'll ask his patients, what is important to you to be able to do when you're 60, 70, 80, whatever, when you get a certain age? And so, for example, the example he used, he had a patient and he wanted to be able to walk down the stairs. I think he had like a lake house or something. Walk down the dock stairs or the whatever stairs down to the lake or the body of water and be able to stand up paddleboard. And so maybe for you, it's being able to play with your grandchildren or be able to still run or be able to ride a dirt bike or whatever is blowing up your skirt, whatever you want to do. And so then he will get granular about that, and he'll be like, okay, this is what we need to do. This is the VO2 max that we need to have. This is the grip strength that we need to be able to achieve, and you can measure that. And he really gets down and dirty with it and very detailed with it, just to be able to count out from like where you need to be now to where you'll be able to do the same things at that age, or achieve your goals at that age, at that later age. And that's very cool. But just be thinking about that now. What do you need to do now? And one of the biggest takeaways from that book for me was just his points that what you're able to do now is not going to be as easy to do when you're older. And so for you to be able to open a can by yourself, for you to have the grip strength to like untwist a jar, or to be able to like stand up, you need to have, there are certain benchmarks that you need to meet now. because you can count on them deteriorating enough to where it'll be different. There will be a noticeable difference. You're not going to have the same grip strength. And so you, like, your strength needs to be whatever number now, whatever measurement now. And if you're not going to get all nerdy about it, I understand, you know, if we don't have all have Peter Attias in our life, but just keep that in mind that you need to really be as strong as you can now with your grip strength, with your mobility, with your hip mobility, with your shoulder mobility, with your leg strength, with your arm strength, with your heart rate, with your heart strength, your VO2 max. You need to be able to be at a certain level now to where you're just able to function independently as an older adult. And so it's important for us to keep that in mind. So just your health span matters. It's not just about the years in your life. It's about the life in your years. And ITEA really highlights that and really drives that point home. Your health span matters more than, or at least as much as, your lifespan. And like I said, I really personally think age is a state of mind. And so that's why I constantly think of myself as fun. And that's another reason why play has been my word of the year. And it's been a focus of mine lately, because I never want to lose that. I think it's crucial having that state of mind to stay creatively relevant. Not relevant, that's not the right word, but creatively vibrant, I guess. And, you know, just where you're engaged and you're still having fun and still getting fulfilled and still productive, not productive for money's sake, not for financial sake, but just to feel still invested in life and you're still engaged in it. And then also just feeling empowered and aware and intuitive and patient and wise and patient and gracious. And so I really have wanted to just maintain as much of a childlike quality in my life as I can, to stay flexible and not set in my ways, not so calcified, like literally and figuratively. I don't want to be so rigid with my views, with my thoughts, with my perspectives, with my movements. I want to feel loose and flexible. And balance is important, literally and figuratively with that too. Like balance, being able to like balance my body, but then also being balanced with enough structure to work and discipline where it's healthy, but then also that flexibility and that openness to where you're able to adapt to life and stay open and stay moving and stay flowing and staying free and not being a victim of age and time and thoughts and, you know, just all that can drag us down in life. And I just want to be as free of that as I can. And that comes with intention. That comes with being aware of how that can happen and loosening its chokehold on you when you do feel it is happening. And from the physical side, that comes from, and I think just we can act ourselves into new habits too. So just moving and loosening your body, I think, really moves and loosens your mind too and opens you up. And they say how we store emotions in our bodies, especially like your hips. It's very, very common for massage therapists and for yoga instructors to have people break down in class around the table, the massage table, when their hips are released, because so much tension and trauma and unease and emotions are stored in your hips and in your body. And like the book says, the body keeps the score, and it truly does. Your biography becomes your biology and vice versa. And it's all connected. And so if we stay loose and we stay free, we will stay loose and we will stay free in every aspect, which is that's so cool. And I think it can be a revolutionary act to be okay with aging and to embrace aging and to be okay with what your body naturally looks like aging. And that can feel very scary, especially if you're a female. That might feel very daunting and very terrifying to just embrace that. So if you color your hair, if you color your grays, Think it doesn't. You don't have to do it. Just think about it. Think about how your body responds. What comes up? What comes to mind? And what comes? What sensations do you feel in your body when you think of going all natural with your hair, with not coloring it anymore? How uncomfortable does that feel? Why do you think that feels uncomfortable? Do you think it has to do with our value being tied to our appearance and our youth and how we look? And this is a great time to shout out the episode I did with my girl Megan. And she has been going natural with her hair and embracing the silver. She is a silver goddess. And she talks about that in the episode. And it's the Silver Revolution episode. Oh, so good. If I do say so myself. Not because of me, because of her. And what a trailblazer. That takes a lot. And she shares, she's honest about how uncomfortable moments have been of that for her and how liberating it's been and worth it. And she has a supportive partner, which counts for a lot. You can do it yourself, but it helps when you have support. And she shares, and if you follow her on Instagram, she shares her, let me pull up her Instagram handle. It's Meg Stoho. So Megan Holmes is her name, but M-E-G-S-T-O-H-O. And she talks about her journey and she shares interactions she's had with people and reactions that people have had to her. And she, like, I remember one time when she just went voting this last November and somebody said, well-meaning, I don't think that they're necessarily aware of what they're saying or the effect that it could have, or, you know, we're products of our society. And so he had just said, you're too young to have gray hair. And I think he meant it as a compliment. And she had a wonderful response and just so gracious, but just so with it. And I just said how, well, yeah, but a lot of women dye their hair. And she just said it so graciously. And just her, she's a class act. She is. And I love how she just responded to it. She was nice about it. Not that you, women don't always need to be nice and sweet, but, you know, respectful about it. That's a better word. She was respectful about it. But then, let's open up our minds. Let's open up our minds to new ways of being, to where it's okay. Let's allow space for that, to let women of a younger age, because truly there are so many of us walking around. I mean, if you've colored your hair, when did you start coloring your hair? Think about what prompted that. I mean, when did those grays start appearing? A lot of that comes from stress, life stresses. So maybe you're a parent and that's when they started happening. And so it's natural, and so many, I have blonde hair, so I have lighter hair, but so I don't personally color my hair, but where was I going with that? I think I was just going to say that, I mean, it depends on what's going on in your life, but so many of us have silver hair and grays and white hair, and we just cover it up because we're holding ourselves to this beauty ideal. And if that's what you're doing, awesome. I mean, you get to choose what is right for you. There's no one right way to do it. And that's kind of the idea. That's kind of the feminist idea too, is you just get the right to choose. You get to decide what is right for you. If you want to color your hair and get injectables and fillers, and that's what you want to do, you get to choose, and you should be able to choose. You should. It's your body, right? You get to choose. I think it's healthy no matter if you're choosing to do injectables or not do injectables, or choosing to dye your hair or not dye your hair. Ask yourself why. And okay, here's a tangent I am going to go off on. Because no matter, it's not just, because I feel like sometimes that can be couched criticism or like masked criticism, where it's like, okay, well, if you think it's right for you to be able to have fillers, just get real with yourself, be honest with yourself, ask yourself. But this truly goes for whatever decision you make. I think it's healthy to have a little talk with yourself and question yourself and be like, okay, so what's driving this decision? What's beneath that? Is there anything beneath that I need to look at or give some attention to? So for example, I was listening to We Can Do Hard Things, Glennon Doyle's podcast. I love it. And she was talking about her eating disorder journey She had a relapse, and so she's now back in therapy for it. And something that she said, it was a big aha moment for her that her therapist gifted her with. And it was a big aha moment for me that Glennon gifted us all with when she shared it on her podcast. And it was, so she was in therapy. I think she had like come back from a therapy session, and she's like, oh, I know what this is about. I know why I have this eating disorder. You know, I'm so intent on whatever. I know what I'm going to do to fix this for me. I'm going to just eschew all beauty ideals. Everything beauty, I'm going to completely shun and reject and refuse to participate in. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop dyeing my hair. So right away, she canceled her hair appointments with her hairstylist. And then she like threw out all tight clothing, and then she wasn't going to wear any makeup, and she wasn't going to do this. And she started instituting all these rigid, structured rules. And then, so then she shared this with her, and she was feeling so empowered and good. And like, she was figuring life out and just resolving it and solving the problem. And she had it all handled. And so she shared this with her therapist, and her therapist pointed out, so this is what you do when you don't feel like you have an inner locus of control. And that's what like people do. It wasn't just Glennon. This is what people do. If they don't have that inner sense of trust and control, they don't feel like they have control within themselves or like they can trust themselves. They enact all these rigid rules to live by, to give them a sense of safety and control. Boom. Spotlight on me. That's my life. I absolutely relate to that. I had to take a step back and think. So it just goes to show. I'm bringing it back. I'm landing the plane. It just goes to show that it's healthy and good and valuable and worth your while to just give a little thought to why you're doing what you're doing. You don't need to do a complete unpacking of it all. You don't need to do a autopsy, that's what it is. You don't need to do a complete autopsy of every decision that you make, but just be aware of it. And then another person I love, friend of Glennon Doyle, so this is a great segue, but Liz Gilbert. So she, you might be familiar with her. She wrote like Big Magic and Eat, Pray, Love. And so she's famous for that, author, writer, thought leader. She's wonderful. And so recently she decided to shave her head, and she has felt more herself than ever. And I think she's in her 50s. I don't know. And so, I mean, that just plays into it. Just the older she's become, the more her she's become. And she said that, I've just never felt more me than I have. And then she talked about how, and I've had these same thoughts, and she's talked about how now that she has a shaved head, She went to this conference, and she was looking at these women with all of their, she said all the women in the room had all of these expensive haircuts and hairstyles. And she's like calculating the cost, and all the men in the room have these very simple hairstyles, if they had any hair, just very little money and time and attention and energy and fucks were given to doing their hair that day, if they even did their hair that day for the men. And I've had this thought so many times, and I may have said it on here a few times, how much time and energy and emotions and feelings of worth and value we've tied up in our hair and our appearance. And I think if, just especially me, like if I were to free all of the time and energy and thoughts and attention and mental and physical bandwidth I expend on my appearance, on my skin, on my hair, on everything else that I use to look a certain way. If I were to have devoted that to creativity, to solving the Middle East crisis, you know what I mean? Like if you were to put it into, and I don't want to say more noble endeavor because I don't want to diminish anybody's experience, but if you were to put it to another endeavor, to another objective, think of what a different world this would be. And think of how entrapped so, and it's not just females, it's males too, and people of all over, all the humans, a lot of us feel affected by this. If we were to free ourselves up from that, think about how much more energy we would have. Think about how much we could do. And it's not just about just how different our lives would be. Think about that for a minute. Think about how much money you've spent on looking a certain way. And even that applies to the gym, or supplements or whatever, not just for health benefits. This is an important distinction, not just for health benefits, and be honest with yourself, like how much of it is really about health and how much of it is looking a certain way. And there's a lot that is tied up into, like, it's self-care and self-respect to take care of your body. But would you still love your body if you were healthy? If you had all the tests run, even those fancy, sophisticated, precise genetic tests and other very precise tests that showed you were very healthy and you had all the energy you needed and you were very fit, but you were over your ideal weight, over the weight you were comfortable with. You were 3 sizes bigger. You had wrinkles on your face. You looked noticeably older. Would you be okay with that? How would you feel about yourself? How would you feel about yourself if you constantly fielded comments or just got impressions from people that you didn't meet the beauty standard? You know, like, oh, are you not feeling very well? You look so tired. I hate that one. You look so tired. You don't look like you're feeling very well. Or, you know, just like outright, man, like you've really been through it. You know, just like this feedback that we get if we're not meeting a certain beauty standard. And I love, who was it? I don't think it was Sharon Stone, though she's a complete luminary in this field, just accepting aging. I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was one of the Sex and the City characters. I don't think it was Sarah Jessica Parker. But anyways, they were just like, do you want me to stop aging? Maybe it was her, Jessica Parker. But some asshole had, that's not very kind. Somebody had said something to her. She got some blowback just from a picture that had been posted of her. And so she just responded with, do you want me to stop aging? What do you want me to do? This is natural. This is a very natural process. We're all experiencing it. Do you want, there's nothing more natural in the world. We get older, and why can't our bodies reflect that? And I've worked on retraining my mind too, just on that, just on seeing expression lines as beautiful, as evidence of life lived. And I see expression lines and lines and wrinkles on younger people too. And yes, part of that comes from not using sunscreen, and we should all use sunscreen, and skin health is important, and we don't want skin cancer, so that's a separate part of it. Please take care of your skin for your health, not just for what you look like. But holy smokes, the things we put ourselves through, and just what a revolution it was. I don't know if you're familiar with Pamela Anderson going makeup free, and she would show up at fashion weeks makeup free. Do you know what a bold statement and move that is? Wow, let's just have a moment of silence for that. Snaps for her to be so secure in yourself, to step into a world solely focused on appearance. And I know that there's, again, the fashion world. I love fashion, and I know that a lot of it is creativity and style and self-expression. And so that's all tangled up in it too. So it's not just all vapid and superficial. But there's a lot of vapidness, vapidity, and superficiality in the fashion world too, and what you look like and looking a certain way and holding to a beauty ideal. So to step in that world, makeup free, and just letting yourself shine through. Wow. Wow. Very cool. Just so much respect, all the respect for her, and then to keep it up. And it's, let's get away with the you look great for your age. Hey, let's just get away with the appearance-based compliments. That would be wonderful. But let's just be more cognizant of how we're addressing and relating to each other and describing each other and viewing each other. Start thinking about your thoughts. You know, like, and it really pisses me off, to be honest, to be expected to maintain a certain look. It pisses me off that I am expected, and nobody is telling me that I need to do this, not directly, but they sure as hell are indirectly, that I need to put my resources towards, again, maintaining appearance, quote-unquote self-care, quote-unquote, get rid of those lines, this is da-da-da-da-da, this is what you need to do to look refreshed and look young and take care of yourself. I'm expected to put my hard-earned money towards fillers and injectables or Botox or whatever other devices and contraptions or creams or whatever to look a certain way, just to like be in the game, just to be viewed as keeping up with society and keeping up with those standards. That's, I think there needs to be a little more righteous anger with that, a little more awareness. And I know that's tricky because truly, I'm not, this isn't just performative. These aren't just words. Truly, I don't want you to feel shamed or called out or judged for your choices, because think about the world we're living in and the water we're swimming in. I still care what I look like. I still do. I can sit here and preach all day about how we shouldn't be judged for what we look like, but I am also a product of my environment, as much as I try to override that and to take ownership of my interpretations and my filters and my experiences and myself and all of that. Still, it's like a fish swimming in the ocean. You're going to be affected by the water you're surrounded in. It's good to be self-aware, but it's also good to have grace and just be gentle with yourself. Like, if you love the thought of going gray and not dyeing your hair anymore, but you're not quite there yet, that just means you're not quite there yet. Or if ever, or if you never get to that point. Or if you think this is all a load of BS, that's okay too. Again, we're just all navigating this on an individual level. We're just hopefully connecting with each other and being there for each other and respecting each other and sharing our experiences with each other, boundaries provided. But it's important to figure out what works for you, and then also just to be aware of where those ideas are derived from. So why do I feel like I should keep up this this appearance? Why do I feel like I should look a certain way? Why do I feel like I need Botox? Why do I feel like I'll look haggard if I show up after 2 hours of sleep and looking like I got 2 hours of sleep? Because you got 2 hours of sleep. Why can't that be okay? Why is that not okay? Why is it not okay for you to, for your appearance to reflect what's going on? Why is it not okay for you to look different than what Hailey Bieber looks like? Or any other fashion model looks like, or whatever. Like, it's like that analogy that they have with the trees. Like, we just look at trees and we can just accept them for what they are, and we're not, most of us aren't projecting, oh, that one could be a little straighter, to be honest, or that one, so gnarly, but not in a good way, that one, like, it was like a little thicker or a little thinner, you know, like, we're just tearing ourselves apart and criticizing ourselves, but why? And it's so arbitrary and subjective. Why can't we just be? Why can't we just be? Why can't it be okay for us if we have been sick to look like we've been sick? Why can't it be okay if we're 73 years old to look like we're 73 years old? And so much of a person's, if we're going to talk about beauty, to me, so much of a person's beauty comes from that life force within them, that vibrancy that you can feel. It's not about what they look like. To me, the truly attractive, that's a better word, attractive, because they have an attractive energy. Attractive people are the people that just have that glow that has nothing to do with their foundation. It's beyond that. It's the energy they're exuding, That's what I strive for. That's my beauty ideal. And I don't want it to be dependent upon what my skin tone looks like. I don't want it to be on how smooth my hair is or how long it is. Just give yourself permission to be and to age. And just give yourself permission to be. Yeah. And let me see if that's... I had a lot of thoughts on this and I want to make sure that I... Yeah, that pretty much is. Oh, I do want to note, there was an article I read about how society disappears aging women. And it's so true. And it's like we just don't allow certain women to be. Like, once we reach a certain age, it's like we become irrelevant. And there's this whole black hole, like a middle-aged black hole. And I think that's changing. And go J-Lo. And go anybody else who's just being themselves. And anyways, okay. So basically, this article is saying how there really is, if I'm remembering correctly, and I think I'm kind of riffing just on this with my own thoughts too, but basically how there just is no space for women of a certain age, and now that's changing, like I said, but like in their 50s, like it's, you're either young and youthful and vibrant and all of that, or you're, like, especially in Hollywood, you're either the young rom-com star or you're playing like the old maid. And there's not really an allowance for the in-between. And there's a lot of life to live in that in-between. That's a sweet spot. And I just think of how I felt when I was 20, you know, how old 30 sounded or how old 40 sounded. And that changes once you start reaching certain ages and you're like, oh, this wasn't as old as I thought. You know, it can be very sobering and very humbling when you just think of, oh, that sounded so old then. And so I think that now, I'm constantly thinking that now. Okay, so like 37, so like Chalene Johnson, 54. But she is a great representation of just a full life force. Like, she dances, she wears what she want to wear. She doesn't let anything hold her back. And she dances and she gets out and dances dirty, and she's just irreverent. And not that she's making me a little tricky to talk about, she's wonderful. She's just her. She just lives unapologetically. She just is her. And I think that's so refreshing and beautiful that she just is her. And just because she's a certain age doesn't mean that she needs to abide by ideas of how a person that age should act, especially a woman of that age should act. And this applies to men too. Just letting yourself be you and letting yourself just do what feels right, what feels good. Be playful, still engage in life and be playful and do what you want to do. And I think that there is just such power in that, really, and such energy giving life in that. And just to remember that just because you're a certain age doesn't mean that you can't do a certain thing or wear a certain thing or run around and act a fool. You still can. And that's the thing. Just because you reach a certain age doesn't mean that you have life figured out. At 37, I feel like I have less answers than I did last year, year before. And I think I know I'm not the only one, because I've heard many others say the same thing. And I think that's also a good thing too, because that means that you're adapting and you're staying open and realizing you're not calcifying and you're not becoming stuck in your ways and stuck in your thought patterns. And you're just realizing, oh, there's a lot more to this life and to this person than I thought. And so just staying open, and that's it. Staying open and being you. That's it. That's all I got. I love you. Thank you for listening to this, and I appreciate you, and rock on.